Blacks from Africa and the Caribbean are among the fastest-growing immigrant populations in the U.S. According to analysis of census data, more than half of African immigrants to the United States bring a college degree with them. And once they're here, they and Caribbean blacks do pretty well compared to some other immigrant groups, and more significantly, when compared to black Americans whose families have been here for generations. African and Caribbean blacks don't necessarily see themselves as Afro-Americans, and that cuts both ways. There are differences in language, culture, and beliefs, and while some from all sides try to forge political common ground, some American blacks worry that new arrivals will eat up educational and employment opportunities that they won in the civil rights struggle. Later in the program, a library experiments with books on iPod and the long, strange journeys of a classroom project named Flat Stanley. But first, a look at how immigration from Africa and the Caribbean is changing black America. If you have questions about the demographics of these new arrivals or about the issues of identity they raise, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is TOTN@npr.org. Joining us now here in Studio 3A is John Logan. He's a professor of urban sociology at Brown University, author of the paper Black Diversity in Metropolitan America. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for inviting me.
When these groups immigrate to the United States, where are they coming from and where do they go to in this country?
Well, the largest number among black immigrants are from the Caribbean, from Haiti, on the one hand, and Trinidad, Jamaica, and all of the other predominantly black islands in the Caribbean. That's the largest group. The fastest growing group are from sub-Saharan Africa. There were really historically very few recent African immigrants in the United States, but they almost tripled in the last decade.
And are these largely from West Africa, Nigeria, Ghana?
The largest number are nationally from Nigeria and Ghana. In some places, though, like Minneapolis, most are from Somalia.
Mm-hmm. Now, once they get to this country, where do they go to?
Well, there's differences here. The Afro-Caribbeans historically have been very highly concentrated on the East Coast. New York and Washington are the largest, and then more recently, South Florida has become a real magnet for black people from the Caribbean. Africans, on the other hand, are going everywhere in the United States, and you'll find them 1 or 2% of the black population in almost every American city or suburb is an African immigrant.
Now, what are we talking about in terms of numbers?
The black population overall is about 35 million, to put it in context, mm-hmm. and by far the largest number are African Americans, people who are many generations in this country. But there's about 1.5 million Afro-Caribbeans today. That's about the same size as groups like Koreans or Cubans, and more than 500,000 African immigrants.
And one of the fascinating findings in your analysis is that they do not live in the same neighborhoods necessarily as African Americans. And we're going to be running into terminology problems all day because African Americans, who is one and who isn't, is an issue of dispute at this point, or at least an issue of discussion. But the arrivals from Africa do not tend to live in the same neighborhoods as African-Americans, nor do the Afro-Caribbeans.
Well, they do and they don't. Certainly, one of the things that creates common ground is that if you're black and you're in America, then you're a black American, and many, many aspects of your life are affected by that. And all of these groups are highly segregated from the non-Hispanic white population. But although there's overlap in the neighborhoods where they live, in New York or Washington or South Florida, you'll find neighborhoods that are black but predominantly Afro-Caribbean black, as opposed to other neighborhoods that are black and predominantly African-American. The most distinct group in this respect is, again, people from Africa who are also quite segregated from whites, but not as much so as the other groups. I think it's in part because they have higher education and income levels than other black Americans.
We're talking with John Logan about census analysis, the arrival of immigrants from Africa and from the Caribbean in Black America. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number again is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And let's talk with Jama, who's calling from Minnesota.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling... I'm an immigrant myself from Kenya, and I found a huge difference than African Americans who here than the other African countries. When I go to when I went to South Africa, it wasn't a different from my own country. But when I came here and tried, we tried to mix with African Americans. We have a totally huge difference. And culture. There is also some kind of jealousy in between us, the Africans who try to make their life, make better life themselves and their families, and other African Americans. Whenever they see those African guys coming here and struggling, they might think that we're taking their jobs and stuff.
I heard you call yourself an African American, not Afro American. Is terminology a problem?
No, I'm African. I consider myself Kenyan and African, and although terminology it has nothing to do. As long as you are your skin color is black, you are African or whatever country you're from, but. The difference is they might see us, you know, the African Americans, the African Americans who were born here. They might see us Africans as a third world countries or some other other people from somewhere else, but they don't see us as among them, and that causes sometimes problem.
Okay, Jama, thank you very much for the phone call.
Thanks.
As we just heard, Professor Logan, there can be economic, sociological tensions.
Absolutely. There's some real differences here, differences in language, differences in culture and background, and even differences in what people's expectations are. For all immigrant groups in the United States of whatever race, there's a sense of being in a project of improving your lives and that your children perhaps are going to be really making it in America. That sense of upward mobility and the possibilities is much less keen among many African Americans who feel like it's the obstacles that stand out.
What's the age range? Are the immigrants tend to be younger?
Surely they are younger. Many are young adults and people who are just starting families. African immigrants, a very large number of them are people who've come to this country for graduate education or are recent graduates and getting their first professional jobs. And so they're quite distinct. This is true, of course, of again, all immigrant groups, Hispanic or Asian or African or Afro-Caribbean. They tend to be young. They tend to be feeling that they're upwardly mobile. However difficult life is here, they tend to interpret it in terms of the possibilities for the future.
What some might regard as a dead-end job, they might see as an entry level.
That's true.
Let's get another caller in. This is Catherine, who's with us from Sacramento.
Hello. I was wondering, in the Caribbean there was also slavery, like there was here in America. But I'm under the impression that the Africans in the Caribbean have been able to perhaps rise in a quicker or more substantial way in areas of economics and employment and whatnot than African Americans here in America.
Slavery did not last as long in the Caribbean as it did in the United States, but Professor Logan, is she right?
Well, another difference is that that black people are the majority in that part of the Caribbean. So even if there continues to be some very strong gap between the former British or Dutch or other white colonialists who had the top positions in the economy, In politics, in education, in other realms, there is now a long tradition of these are black countries and black domination. So race is not as important currently in those countries. On the other hand, I think if you look throughout Latin America, there's also that history of slavery, and race continues to be an important distinction. Not exactly the same as in the U.S., but an important distinction everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, thank you. Mm-hmm. I guess we should point out that we're generalizing. There are, of course, language and cultural differences among Afro-Caribbeans, Francophones and Anglophones, people from Cuba, people from Haiti, people from Jamaica, and certainly the same thing for groups from different parts of Africa as well, different tribes.
That's for sure. For example, Haitians and Jamaicans or Trinidadians I put them in my report in this category of Afro-Caribbean, but whether they see themselves as really part of the same cultural group, well, I think it's very much in doubt, and the question is really how do people understand themselves? Are you Haitian? Well, our caller who said very clearly, I'm a Kenyan, I'm an African, mm-hmm. and I'm an African-American, possibly in that order.
They might be divided into the cricket playing and the baseball playing divisions. That's another cultural
divide.
This
is one of the social divisions, and in some places people will fight over whether the school should be allocating its playing fields in the summertime to soccer or to baseball.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll be talking more about the impact of African and Caribbean immigration to America, and we'll be taking more of your calls. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address, TOTN@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're talking today with Brown University sociologist John Logan about the social, economic, and political impact of African and Caribbean black immigration. Of course, you're invited to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN@npr.org. And joining us now is Dean Shafdeen Amuwu at the University of Illinois in Chicago, and he's joining us from his office there. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Good afternoon.
You're from Chicago. There's a very large African population there. What's the relationship like between Africans and African Americans in your city?
I think it's good, but it could be a lot better.
What are the divisions?
Well, also in terms of how the Africans see themselves relative to African Americans. I will describe myself as a Nigerian, as an African, and as an African-American. However, an African-American may not see me as an African-American, even though I've been in Chicago for most of my life. I spend in a great deal of my time to find some avenues whereby I could bridge the gap between the perception of Africans by African Americans and the perception of African Americans by Africans who live and work here in Chicago.
How do you do that? How do you bridge those gaps?
Well, several years ago, I and several others formed the Nigerian American Forum, which was to attempt to have a couple of educational sessions annually to try to not only educate each other in terms of our plights, but in terms of how we can use our numbers to help each other. And I'm doing many other things in terms of encouraging Africans to actually make sure that they embed themselves in the social fabrics of African Americans in Chicago, mm-hmm. Participate politically, participate socially, volunteer their time, serve in many areas that would not only benefit themselves, but also benefit African-American brothers and sisters.
Well, let's get a caller on the line. And this is Maurice, and Maurice is calling from Detroit.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a couple of comments. The first one is the perception that a lot of African-Americans have about Africans. Now, of course, many African-Americans I know consider themselves African, originally especially, but the problem is that I think the image that African-Americans have from movies and other characters depicted in the media have impacted the way many Africans see African-Americans, and when they come to this country, many of them don't want to have much to do with African-Americans, as I've seen. And the second comment, I'll make it quick, is about the unique cultural history that African-Americans in this country have had, as you alluded to in the opening comments. We've had a long history of struggling, the post-traumatic slave syndrome, so on and so forth, and we've fought for these rights. And people who are not a part of that unique culture, I'm just not sure how that relationship may be there, and all of the rights that we fought for as African-Americans, if those just go to other people who have not had that same unique cultural experience.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth, Maurice, but Johnny's come lately?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get a response from Dean Amuwu.
Oh, well, I do understand quite perfectly. This is a land of immigrants. This is a land built from the backs of slaves and other people that came from part of the world. I don't know, though, how African-Americans will have to single out Africans as a group that not ought to engage and take advantage of the opportunities that African-Americans did fight for. Other people from other places who have non-European countries did take advantage of it. It's only among African-Americans do we see some kind of contentions when it comes to taking advantage or making use of the vast resources available to African-Americans and Africans and everyone. And they support Africans a great deal. But look at the Mexicans, the Puerto Ricans as an example. They hardly attempt to distinguish between them and those who are born here. Yes, I could understand. Many of us, really most of us, do not have a good understanding of the long history of struggling. Mm-hmm. But they have to be educated. You can't operate at arm's length with Africans and at the same time go to Africa to attempt to help Africans when you refuse to see Africans who are here as your equal in terms of resources available.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more African-Americans embrace Africans collectively, the more we all gain.
Mm-hmm. Maurice?
My experience with Africans, I've traveled extensively through Black Africa, and my experience with Africans there is very good. But it's when we come here and we're here together that many of them seem to keep distance, and I'm not sure why.
I think this is more so your perception, though. I've lived in Chicago for more than 34 years, and I've traveled extensively. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of colleagues. I have families who are born here. I have family members who are born outside the United States. I think the perception is always that the Africans who are here are somehow arrogant, somehow do not want to relate to their African American brothers. I don't really think that perception is correct. But it does exist. That is the more reason why I think education will help all of us. Embracing each other will help all of us a great deal. rather than attempting to think that we needed to be to treat each other at arm's length.
Marie,
I appreciate your response. Let me leave you with one example, and then I'm going to go ahead and take your response off the air. With regard to marriage, for example, I know many African brothers here who have wives from among the American women, but I don't know any of the African men who are willing to marry, you know, to agree that their sister or daughter will marry an American guy unless he's to go over to Africa and bring her here. That's one small example. Another example is the business relationships that exist. You see many of the Africans doing business among themselves, but when it comes to the black community, they're usually the recipients of that service. Thank you guys very much.
Maurice, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Would you like me to respond?
Well, Dina, we're going to move on. I wanted to thank you for your time today. I appreciate your taking the time to speak with us. Chef Dina Muwu is Associate Dean for Urban and Diversity Programs at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and he joined us from his office there. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Sam. Sam's calling from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I was born in Africa. I'm a missionary kid, and I've been trying to work with Africans here in the States, trying to get them integrated into various churches, and the African-American community and both the white church community just seem to be very off, and I don't understand why. I can't make a connection. I even took an African-American pastor this last November into Sudan with me in a conference, and still there seems to be no connection. I'm just wondering if one of your guests could respond.
John Logan, did you look at religion as in part of the census analysis?
Not in the census, but I am aware that, for example, in Brooklyn, there are churches that have a predominantly Afro-Caribbean congregation, and others that are more African American. I think what's most interesting for people who are listening is that when you do listen in on these conversations among the callers and participants, you see that ethnicity within the black community is really very important, and that's something that's been hidden from view for decades. America has tended to think of the world as black and white, and black is black. A tenth of a percent is black, and there's no differences in the black community. But it turns out that the same kinds of tensions that arise between have arisen in the past between Irish Catholics and Jews or Germans or other white ethnic groups are also salient among minority groups in the U.S.
And really, we shouldn't be surprised.
And that's the thing. We shouldn't be surprised, and I don't think that it points to anything special about, if there are ethnic jealousies within the black community or within the Latino community or within the Asian community. That's not telling us anything specially new about them, except human and social, just like everyone.
Sam, thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you much.
Joining us now is Councilwoman Ada Edwards. She's from Houston, Texas, where she represents District D. Nice of you to join us today.
Thank you for having me.
And I wanted to bring you on to ask you about the question of opportunities. And this question of the opportunities that were won as the result of the long struggle for civil rights. Is there some concern within the African-American community that new arrivals, either from Africa or from the Caribbean, could be taking advantage of those opportunities at the cost, potentially, of African-Americans?
Well, I think you're always going to have a percentage of people of African origin, people born and raised in this country, that will look at the civil rights movement or the human rights struggle as their struggle alone. But when you look at the history of that struggle, there was a lot of inclusion from such leaders as Kwame Nkrumah and people like that from the continent that were very important part of the civil rights struggle. The issue for me is that I try to encourage people not to point at the disadvantages, but look at the advantages. When I look at black, when I say if you're going to a black university, does that include the University of Dakar or the University of Ghana? And how do we build an inclusion as opposed to looking at this from a separate but equal type of position? So I think we will always have a group of people who will say, well, I'm not getting it now. Not only is the white guy, but it's also now the African from Africa or the African from Caribbean. That will always be there. But I think the majority of African origin people in this country appreciate and look to the opportunities that as we build this Pan-African dialogue and relationship, that it's a win-win for all of us.
We're talking today about the impact of dramatically increased immigration from by blacks from Africa and the Caribbean. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Councilwoman Edwards, as I suspect you know, at Harvard, a couple of professors raised questions about the presence of increasing numbers of blacks from the Caribbean and Africa in their schools. They're questioning whether places in affirmative action programs are being taken up by these new immigrants at the cost of opportunities for African Americans.
I refuse to get into that pitting victims of oppression against one another. We have all been victims of racism and oppression, whether you're born in this country or Africa or the Caribbean. And I'm not going to give fuel to the victims pitting one against the other. I would say this, that if we develop a foundation, if we who are leaders and spokespersons for different groups develop a foundation, then the whole lifting of the African origin people of the world will be beneficial to all, not just to those born here in America, those born in the Caribbean, or those born in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we have got to realize, is that we will always have a little bit of what I call tribalism involved in this whole discussion of who's the most African.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it, the political reality of it is that we're all connected by that particular continent, and we can either use it for our benefit, that is, understanding how we can develop resources and access those resources and become benefactors of those resources, or we just sit here and fight each other and we get nothing, we win nothing. We give Africa to the Chevrons and the Exxons and the corporate America's groups, and we're still here wondering about, am I losing my affirmative action spot at Harvard or whatever? That's an important piece, but I don't think that is the crux of our struggle. Our struggle, in my opinion, is to develop a dialogue where all of us who are African origin can benefit from the vast resources of that in America, that in the Caribbean, and that in Africa. And how do we build that foundation so that we all benefit from it forever we are living on the globe?
Councilwoman Anna Edwards, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Edwards joined us from Houston, Texas, where she represents District D. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Yvette from Kansas City.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Yvette, and I want to raise a question about a growing trend in this country that I see, and that is many of my colleagues are trying to get jobs in African American studies programs, and they're finding that Africans are getting hired above them, even though African and Caribbean, there seems to be that institutions actually favor those groups over African Americans, and I think African Americans have a reputation of being perhaps troublemakers or pushing for change too hard. And I'm afraid this is causing some tension in the whole African American Studies Committee, the whole African American Studies movement. And I just would like your experts to address that point.
Mm-hmm. John Logan, I'm not sure how expert you are on this, but do you have any response?
Well, higher education universities are a flashpoint for ethnic issues, both from the student body. There are many, many young people in college from different backgrounds who are trying to understand what it means to be from that background, and they're very intense, and that can lead to conflict, and it can lead to solidarity. And the issue of the jobs in these departments, there are few jobs, and so there are naturally struggles over what's the direction that the department will take. Is it more an African studies department? Is it the experience of blacks in America which should be the focus of the department, or what? So I think that this is one of those those places where there is intense competition and people often feel very intensely about it.
We thank Yvette for her phone call. We're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the relationship of American blacks with black immigrants from Africa and the Caribbean. Plus, a library plugs in with iPods and a globe-trotting Flat Stanley. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Today, we're continuing our conversation about the impact of black immigration from sub-Saharan Africa and the Caribbean in this country. Our guest is John Logan, a professor of urban sociology at Brown University. And I wanted to ask you about education for a moment. Educational attainment of Africans, 14 years, is higher than Afro-Caribbeans, 12.6 years, or African-Americans, 12.4 years, indeed higher even than whites and Asians. We've been talking about the impact on America. Go back the other way. Are we talking about a brain drain from Africa?
Oh, absolutely, and certainly this is one of the ways that America has benefited from immigration always over the decades, getting the best and the brightest and the most aggressive from other countries. So it is a loss, except to the extent that Africans who do come to this country then continue to have strong relationships with the countries that they came from. And I think that that's probably usually true. They continue to have family networks and professional networks, travel back and forth. Mm-hmm. So they can make a contribution to their home countries even from this country.
And of course, it's, as you mentioned, very different from the days of, great waves of Irish or German or Italian immigration when you came by ship and pretty much never went back. You can get on a plane today and be there in half a day.
This is, again, one of the things that distinguishes the black immigrants from other African Americans, is that they do have another country that they have a close connection to and they're in touch with, and maybe even traveling every summer or sending their children for a year of school, or so that they have a dual identity here.
Let's get another caller in. This is Ali, who joins us from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Ali. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling from Grand Rapids. My main issue is about, I got about 4 points here. One of them is about color, and particularly where we come from. I'm from Eastern Africa. We never had white, black, and the colors. Maybe we have tribal, but when we moved, personally, when I moved here, I was associating with everybody, but my fellow African Americans are kind of put me aside because they think I'm associating with the whites more than them, and that is the main issue. The second point is, personally, I was told by one of African Americans about slavery. We know the history, but the point is, they believe, some of them, particularly the ones who are not learned, believe that we from Africa, the current people, the new immigrants, were the masters of the African Americans before, and we sold them out. And this is the notion which should not be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is about the responsibility. We tend to be hardworking. Some of us work two jobs to be able to make ends meet. We tend to buy new cars, buy houses, and it's out of the hard work. And they think that we took their jobs. And the last part of it is about education. Back from home, we hear that America is land of opportunity. When we come over here, we take advantage of that. We go to school, we try and work hard and get that opportunity. And this is the main rivalry between us and our brothers over here. But it's mostly about the culture. When we try to integrate with them, they tend to think the other way wrong. And it's all about these issues I just talked about.
Mm-hmm. A lot of mutual incomprehension in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
Yes, Ali, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And let's see if we can get one more call in on this subject. Diane. Diane's calling from Rochester, New York.
Hi.
Hi.
My points are threefold. I hear people refer to us a lot of times as Afro-Caribbeans, Afro-Americans. My main thing is that we are black, and I say mostly, I mean, I'm not totally from Africa, not to deplete them in any way to say that they're, you know, that we're any better, but my grandfather is from Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm black because of my color, so I don't necessarily count myself as just Afro, you know, something. The other thing is I homeschool, and I'm glad to be able to teach my children when we have Black History Month about how many steps we have taken as black people in the positive direction towards freedom. And, you know, it's very sad to hear the Americans saying that they're still carrying on the fight. Yes, we are. You know, we can now live where we want to live and not be, be burnt out or something like that. But at the same time, they have to also realize, let's step on, let's go forward now, together as one black people. The other thing also is that in all Caribbean states, we had slavery in a different way.
Different context, yes.
Yeah, we weren't educated as highly as the people in America were. Like, for instance, we didn't know anything about calculus until most recently. You know, and those are ways that we were kept. So, I mean, even though we lived as one people and us being all black, we still had our own issues.
But given all of these differences, Diane, do you think you have more in common
with African Americans?
Yes.
We tend to stick together more. I don't see that so much here, and I don't know if maybe because I'm not an African American where I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend you know, for instance, if you meet someone who's from the Caribbean, doesn't matter where they're from, could be anywhere in the Caribbean, they always have that same camaraderie. If you meet an African American, a lot of times they don't necessarily bond with you right away.
Mm-hmm.
Or and it's also the same with, you know, of course, with the Caucasian race. You don't bond as easily. You know, they'll pass by you and not say anything in the same workplace. But it's interesting to really take a note of and see.
Diane, thanks very much for the phone call.
You're appreciate welcome.
It.
Thank you for having me.
And Professor Logan, before we let you go, your study is based on census data in the 1990s.
1990 and 2000.
And given the rates at which immigration was proceeding during that decade, what do you project is going to be the figure for Afro-Caribbean and African immigration over the next 10 years, or I guess the remaining 5 years of this decade? Yeah.
Well, I think actually immigration has not slowed down, and America's in for another decade of 40 or 50% growth from every origin, Latino, Asian, Afro-Caribbean, African. And these issues about increasing heterogeneity, diversity, difference within these groups are going to become more salient. They'll be discussed more and more within the communities. And I think we have a great deal to learn about this.
John Logan, Professor of Urban Sociology at Brown University, with us here in Studio 3A. You can read the study at our website, npr.org. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Coming up next, go to the library and check out an iPod.